Let's pray together, folks. Lord, we just come to you and ask you to be with us as we hear your word today. Lord, I pray again for softened hearts. Let the word be planted deep within us, Lord. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to speak to this family of believers. You bless me, Lord. Lord, visit us. Visit us with your truth today. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking through me, using me as your vessel. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to share on a very serious topic this morning that involves each one of us. Each one of us that makes up the church body, and I'm referring to the stewardship of your money, or perhaps better known as tithing. It's been some time since I focused on the issue of tithing, and it's long overdue. God's got a plan that encompasses your money and mine, and we all need to talk about it. Turning Point Church in the past has done well financially, but we've been struggling to pay the bills in the last little bit. God has given us plans. In addition, God has given us plans for some things in the near future, and it's going to take extra funds to do those. So I plan to take a few weeks to discuss this subject and hopefully eliminate any confusion, eliminate any problems, and I want to end up watching you receive blessings. I know you want to be obedient to the Lord, do what you can for him. And this morning's message is not a complete teaching on the subject, but a good starting place. We want God's truth to be revealed to us. Amen? Here at Turning Point, we talk about taking up tithes and offerings. And that's scriptural. We have an envelope that separates tithes and offerings. Tithes we give to the church, and offerings we do at our discretion. Each week, I give you an opportunity to give into some kind of ministry, even here at the church, something that may need a financial boost here at the church. The men, the women, men's meeting, whatever it is, we have opportunity to give. I don't care if you give to this. I'd like you to give to these things that I bring up. Missionaries was one this morning. But what I want you to do is learn how to give. Yes. Jesus was a giver. Amen. And we are supposed to be little Jesuses running all over the world. So we need to learn how to give. We break that up on this envelope, tithes and offerings. And we ask you just each week to separate those things and be a giver. Amen? Amen. Be a giver. All right. I want to start off this morning with a dumb blonde joke. Now, I'll tell you the truth and be politically correct. It could be any hair color. A guy took his blonde girlfriend to her first football game. They had great seats right behind the team's bench. After the game, he asked her how she liked the experience. "Oh, I really liked it," she replied, "especially the tight pants and the big muscles. I just couldn't understand why they were killing each other over 25 cents. Dumbfounded, her date asked, "What do you mean?" "Well, I saw them flip a coin. One team got it, and then for the rest of the game, they kept screaming, 'Get the quarterback! Get the quarterback!'" Then she said, "Hello, it's only 25 cents. Well, I want to say today, hello, the tithe is only 10%. You got to have an intro for this kind of thing. Money is important. Tithe is 10%. People tend to have an inward battle when it comes to 10% of their money. The number one cause for divorce in this country is over money. Obviously, money can be a distraction, and money can cause a serious problem. When we fail to teach the correct scriptural principles concerning money, there can be much confusion. You may ask, why does the preacher need to talk about my money? Because money has a spiritual connection. Amen? And to tell you the truth, it scares some preachers to death to bring up the subject because of the comments people make to the man. Sometimes if you talk about money, people might even leave. That's other churches. However, our Savior, Jesus Christ, had no trouble talking about money. He talked about how we are to handle it. Therefore, if our Lord taught it, then we pastors must teach it. Amen? And actually, Jesus teaches more about money than most other topics in the Bible. That was to negate the idea that life is all about money. Life isn't. But remember that following the Savior is more a matter of the heart than a matter of the wallet. Amen. Now, Luke chapter 16, I want to begin with verse number 10. Amen. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteousness mammon, who will commit to you your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Cannot serve God and money. Amen? Look at verse 12 again. If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Those things that are entrusted to us by God are not really ours, are they? They belong to the Lord. He has simply seen fit to place us in charge of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Moreover, is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Just leave that slide up a minute, Vivian. So Jesus made us stewards of his riches. Jesus made us stewards of his riches. And I want you to notice on this verse that stewardship is a requirement, not a request. You see it? Amen. Thank you, Vivian. There are many verses in the Bible that are requirements. They contain God's expectations for us. And we as people of God are stewards, and that is a fact we cannot ignore. It's sad, but some Christians only give themselves partially to God, and they give only partial service. Obviously, then, these folks will only give partial stewardship to the Lord. And it's safe to say, then, that if you give half-hearted service as well as half-hearted giving, that you're robbing the Lord. Is it robbery to withhold from God things that belong to Him? Yes. Isn't it robbery to withhold our love from God? Isn't it robbery to withhold time that He wants us to devote to Him? And isn't it robbery to withhold from God the money He asked for or anything else of which we are a steward? This morning, I would like us to concentrate on the money aspect of our stewardship rather than speaking about time or love, though we might deal with them on another day. I want to share with you this morning three biblical principles about tithing. Three principles about tithing. First, tithing is an aspect of the Old Testament law that we are still required to obey today. Tithing is an aspect of Old Testament law that we are still required to obey today. We are not required to observe all the ceremonial things of the law, but the aspects of the law that we are required to observe include, number one, holiness. The law of holiness is an Old Testament law of God that He did not abolish when we entered the New Covenant. In the New Testament, Romans 12, verse 1, the last half of that verse says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Another place it says, lifting up holy hands. So we're not freed from the Old Testament admonition to be holy. Number two, nor are we freed from the law of obedience. Both the Old Testament and New Testament teach that to know God's will is to be accountable to it. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Amen. And tithing, number three, is also an Old Testament command that has not passed away, and it is used to support His church. Tithing did not originate under the law. Some people declare, the Lord doesn't really care if I tithe or not, because that was under the law, and the Old Covenant has passed away. It is true that it was under the law, but it is not only under the law, nor is it where tithing began. Tithing of resources to the work of God started with before Moses was even born. The patriarchs were tithers before the law was ever given. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and He gave him a tithe of all. This was between Abram and Melchizedek, the high priest, long before the law said in Deuteronomy 14:22, it said, you shall surely tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. Even Jesus makes reference to the new covenant, to tithing in the new covenant. In Matthew 23:23, and I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation. It says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. The Apostle Paul's teaching is to give even more than the tithe. Now, from the Old to the New Testament, we discover that everything, and I mean everything, really belongs to God. And we are stewards of those things that He has entrusted to our use and care. The devil is a sly old fox. And he comes up with all kinds of ideas why we no longer have to pay attention to tithing. I assume that everyone here has a desire to obey God, and everyone here has intentions to tithe, but in January, the Christmas bills are due. I can't tithe. I have bills to pay. February, car needs repair. I can't tithe then. March, taxes are coming up. Can't tithe. April, you must have clothing for Easter. Can't tithe. May, there may be too much rain on the crops, and if you have to be careful about giving, better not tithe. June, not enough rain. Can't tithe. July, vacation. Can't tithe. Won't be there. August, vacation expenses have to be paid because you used a credit card. Can't tithe. September, kids need new school clothing. Can't tithe. October, you need some winter clothing. You're probably going to have some doctor bills. Can't tithe. December, you have Christmas shopping. And with that, you start all over again. The Christmas, the enemy will always give you an excuse for not giving to the Lord. And it doesn't matter that it belongs to the Lord. Let me repeat that. The enemy will always give you an excuse for not giving to the Lord. And it doesn't matter that it belongs to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you have to ignore the devil and his arguments and his lies. How can we do that? Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. If you are focused on your beloved Savior and all he's done for you and given to you, the devil will not have an opportunity to lie to you. Let me give you a second biblical principle about tithing. Tithers avoid the curse. Tithers avoid the curse. The Word of God warns us about failing to give to God what is due to Him. I want to read from Haggai chapter 1, verse 4 through 9. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Verse 5, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Verse 9, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Very simply, the message states, you need to be careful to take care of the things of God to avoid a curse on your life. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. This verse is a warning to us that if we don't tithe, we are guilty of robbing God over a tenth of our income. Tithers do not have the curses, but rather they have the promise of God's blessings. Amen? Repeat that. Tithers do not have the curses, but rather they have the promise of God's blessings. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse or into the church, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God can do more with your 90% than you can do with your 100%. That is a fact. Now, let me give you a testimony I've heard a dozen times or more. There was a period of time in our life when we felt that we could not afford to pay our tithe because there was just too many bills. We believe in tithing, and that's why we were upset when we began to get behind on what we owed God. It seemed like the more we used that tithe for ourselves every week, the worse off we were. And then we realized that we were missing the boat. We could not avoid doing God's will just because we were having a hard time financially. We decided that we had to start tithing and be faithful in it no matter what it cost us. And what we have experienced is that God has blessed us financially in miraculous ways. God rewarded us for our faithfulness. Amen. Throughout history, many people have been tithers and have been blessed for it. J.L. Kraft was a tither. He said this, "The only investments that I have ever made that have paid constantly increasing dividends is the money that I've given to the Lord." J.D. Rockefeller was a tither. He said, "I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week." Amen. William Colgate was also a faithful tither and gave more than his tithe. He gave 25% of his income away to the church and charity. You can see that they believed in tithing, and history tells us that they received the blessing of the Lord. Another blessing of tithing is the joy of being trusted by God. I am a steward of what God has given me, and it's good to know that God trusts me. He gives to you and me an entire check every payday. Entire check every payday. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. Your company is only responsible for writing the check. The Lord is in charge of your economy. Amen. Amen? God gives you that entire check, and then He trusts you that you give from that check your tithes and your offering. Isn't that great that He trusts you? He trusts you, folks. The federal government might say they trust you as well, but they manage to take out their share before you get your check. And I'm sure that you are wishing that they wouldn't do that, so you would have a chance to also prove to them that you can be trusted to send in every penny of your tax dollars without them threatening your future. Seriously, there is a joy in realizing that God trusts me. God trusts me. And folks, I don't want to betray His trust. I want to be faithful to God with the small things and the big things. How many of you know the parable of the pearl of great price? Probably most of you have heard that. A fellow saw it, he wanted it so badly, he sold everything to possess it. I want to share with you a parable about that parable. In Matthew chapter 13, 45 and 46, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he finds the pearl of great price, he sells everything he has to purchase it. To explain that parable, traditional thinking says that there's a man who's considered to be the pearl of great price, and Jesus is the merchant who will sell everything in order to buy this man. Now, brothers and sisters, we do know that Jesus did give everything to purchase us by pouring out his life and covering us with his precious blood. However, what if we consider this parable from a different angle? Jesus is the pearl of great price, and I am the merchant, the admirer. Why would I look at it that way? Because when we find Jesus and we accept him as Savior and receive him into our heart, it will also cost us everything. Jesus offers us the benefits of the kingdom: joy, peace, contentment, security, provision, eternal life, and much, much more. We can only marvel at such a pearl of blessing. So it's easy to offer everything to obtain the pearl. If Jesus has offered everything to us, why wouldn't we want that pearl? But how much does it cost? The seller claims it's too costly. It's too precious. You say, how much is it? The seller says, it's very expensive. You, do you think I can buy it? Seller, you can buy it. Anybody can buy it. You say, but you said it's expensive. How much is it? The seller says, well, it will cost everything you have. Nothing less, nothing more. You say, I'll buy it. Seller, well, what do you have? Let's write it down. You say, I have $100 in the bank. Seller says, okay, let's write it down. What else do you have? You, I don't have any more. Seller, you mean you don't have anything else? You say, well, I have some dollars and some change. Seller says, well, how much is there? You, I've got about $23. Seller, fine, I'll take that. What else do you have? You say, I don't have anything else. That's all. I've given my last penny. Seller says, where do you live? You, I live in a house. Seller, I'll take that too. You say, you mean I have to live in my garage? Seller says, oh, you have a garage? Write that down too. That means I have to sleep in my car. Seller, you have a car? You say, well, I have two cars. Seller says, write that down. Anything else? No, nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. Seller, well, are you absolutely alone in this world? You say, I have a spouse and two children. Seller says, well, mark them down, because you'll have to give them to me also. Seller says, finally, he says, do you have anything else? You say, no, I don't have anything else. I'm all alone. There's nothing more. Seller says, I want your everything. Everything becomes mine, and you do too. And then God does this wonderful thing for us. He says, all of this is mine. You have given everything to me. Don't ever forget that they are mine. And when I need any of them, when I need any of the things that you are using, you must give them to me, because I am rightfully the owner. You have turned them over to me to purchase the pearl of great price. Did you understand what was being said in that parable? Do we tithe because the law of Moses says to tithe? Do we tithe because Pastor Jerry says so? Emphatically, no. You tithe because you choose to. You must want to be faithful in giving to the work of God. Because you have a very clear understanding that you made a decision one day to purchase the pearl of great price, Then Jesus gave everything back to you and said, I trust you with them. Just be sure that as I have need of them, that you give them to me. When we give into God's work, we feel like we are more of a part of it. It's because our investment is there. Yes. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In John chapter 3, verse 16 says that God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. And that is the spirit of everything God does. He loves, he gives. He loves, he gives. Most of us here have done what it takes to purchase the pearl of great price. We have given ourselves and all that we own to the Master. But are you doing all that you agreed to? If you've never made such an agreement with Jesus, the pearl of great price is still available for your purchase. So folks, you are a steward of everything God has given you. Take the step of faith and tithe. Unfortunately, not everyone is a steward. The average Christian gives 2.5% of their paycheck to the church. Just think, if everyone tithed 10% instead of the average 2.5%, this body of believers would have 75% more money to invest in the kingdom. Tithing is God's way. It's his plan. It's his plan, folks, for supporting his church and at the same time blessing you. Amen. Right. Giving you great blessings. Opening the windows of heaven and pouring out blessings that you will struggle to contain. He wants to reveal miracles to you, to show you his provision firsthand. Won't you try it? God will not disappoint. This is the only place in the Bible, Malachi chapter 3, that says you can test him. What does that mean? Try tithing. Bonnie and I have tithed before we were Christian. It was what we did because our parents did it. I can't tell you how many times there's been more money in the bank than what we thought. More money in her closet than what we thought. Tithing works. Amen. Folks, I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony where people didn't know what to do, so they started tithing, and it would help. It would come, people, they would receive. Things would be different. Things would change, and the blessings would come. It's amazing. Brother Larry talks about the first time he went with Dr. Jacob. He had more money in his bank than him and his wife thought they had. So he could buy a ticket. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's the way it is. I'm not pulling your leg.
He takes the curse off your money.
That's right. He can do more with 90% than we can do with 100%. Amen. Give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. You know, for some reason, it is so hard to designate that 10% to the Lord. Not only have I had people tell me all the blessings they've received when they tithe, I've also had people tell me they can't tithe. One man, he was a preacher, went to our church years ago. And I saw him and his wife leaving the church parking lot, and his wife had to hold the door of their little truck closed because the door wouldn't close automatically. It wouldn't lock. So they're going down the road with his wife, got the window down, holding the door closed. So I talked to him, left the church. Can't tell me what to do with my money. Jesus tells you what to do with your money. I'm just making a point of it. Tithe, folks. Give offerings. You'll be surprised at the blessings you have. You'll even have closet money someday. What I mean by that is money hidden in your closet.
Yeah, when the seasons change and the weather goes back to cold and you put your hand in the jacket pocket
and find
it.
That's right.
Might even walk up and give you a car. Never know.
Never know.
Amen.
Amen. You had enough for today? I'll give you some more next week. Tithe, folks. First thing you should do with that check is designate your tithe. And I'll tell you this testimony, too, before I close. My mother and dad, that was before the checks, before it was easy to write a check. My mother would put, my dad would get his paycheck in cash. My mother would divide it into envelopes. She'd make them out just like she was going to pay the bill, send cash to through the mail. Okay? The tithe envelope she would never seal. One day she realized that she never had to take from that tithe envelope to pay something else. She left it open just in case they needed that money. They never did have to take from that envelope. What a testimony. What a testimony. Maybe that's why Bonnie and I started tithing so early, because we saw it work. We saw it work. Hallelujah. God's good and all the time. And as I've said over and over again, His plans are the best for you. He's not trying to rob you from money. He's trying to get you to be faithful to Him. So He can bless you, and bless you again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn?
Brother Jerry, can I share a testimony?
Sure.
Just briefly. The other day, I got an envelope in the mail from one of my doctors, and I thought, oh, goody, this must be a refund because I've already paid them everything that I owe them. So I opened the envelope, and it turned out to be a bill for $2,400, an unexpected bill. And so I thought, this must be a mistake. I've already paid them everything I owe them. So I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, let this be a mistake. said, "Ma'am, I received this bill for $2,400. Is this on top of the money I've already paid you, or is this a mistake?" And I said, "I've gotten emails from you saying I owe $2,400. I got this letter in the mail saying I owe $2,400, and when I go to your website, it says that I owe $2,400." And I said, "But I hope this is a mistake, because I think I've paid you everything that I owe you." And so she says, "Well, let me look it up." And so she does some typing, and she looks up and says, "Yeah, it's a mistake. You don't owe us anything." And so I just gave glory to God for that, because I prayed about it, I sought the Lord about it, and I believe He honored that prayer.
Amen.
And I think one of the reasons why He honored that prayer is because Carol and I have always been faithful tithers, and I think God honored that that prayer, and we it turned out we didn't owe that money that we thought we did. So,
amen.
So I just give glory to God for that.
Amen.
That's a good testimony.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that if we had not been tithers, that probably could have turned out differently.
Yep.
You know, and the doctor's office, you know, just would have sucked that $2,400 out of our pocket, you know, but because we're givers, I think the Lord was faithful to negate that
Amen.
Bill.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's pray.
Pastor, do we have online giving also?
Yes, ma'am.
For those who like to give online?
Yes, ma'am.
Don't like to write a paper check?
That's right.
Awesome. What's that?
If you watch the overhead every week, it says online giving.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the nursery. I don't get to watch the overhead.
Well, let's pray. Let's stand together and let's pray.